Our study continues in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. In the earlier part of this chapter, God has talked about the judgment he's going to bring upon the shepherds who were not faithful, those who did not discharge their duty, but rather they used the flock for their own benefit. They used the flock to become fat with themselves and did not take care of the flock. Now, beginning with the 17th verse, he is describing how that he is going to also be the judge of the flock itself. After all, the shepherds are just another member of the flock in God's family. They are human beings, like the sheep are human beings. And so he's going to judge between the individual members of the flock. And he shows here how that those in the flock that are the bullies, the he-goats and the rams, they run over the lesser members of the flock. And he says in verse 20, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle." So every individual in the church, in the flock, is going to be judged by God. And if this individual has been guilty of mistreating another member of the flock, God's going to pass judgment upon that individual. "I'll judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle." Verse 21, "Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad." Now he describes this pushing and shoving in the flock, which would be the mistreating of another member of the church of God. He describes this like a herd of cattle or sheep or goats. And all of us who have seen herds of cattle eating, I've seen how that they behave. There's always this so-called pecking order. There's one animal in the flock that can eat anytime he or she wants to. They can bully any other member of the flock away. And there's one that can eat any place except where this one is eating. And on down the line until you get to the last one that is pushed around by all of the others. And so he describes this in terms that the people can understand. They were familiar with flocks and how they behaved. And he describes in this behavior in which members of the flock are mistreated in terms that can be easily understood. He says, "You have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you scattered them abroad." You wouldn't let the disease come up and eat. You wouldn't let them feed upon the things that they needed for spiritual nourishment. You didn't take care of them. You bullied them away, and you caused them to be scattered abroad. They've had to just leave the vicinity of the flock, the vicinity that I wanted them to be in, because you have mistreated them. And this could be, of course, a physical scattering that did happen to Israel, but it could also be a spiritual scattering in which those are just forced away from the vicinity of the spiritual things that the rest of the flock is attending to and receiving from God. So what God is talking about here is not the external enemies of the church. He's talking about those enemies that arise from within. Those enemies that are members of the flock themselves who are mistreating other members of the flock. And we know that this is something that's happened all along in the household of God. And it's spoken about in the New Testament. For example, in Acts, the 20th chapter, where Paul is talking to the elders of the church, he says that beginning in verse 29 of Acts 20, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So the church has to be continually on guard for the fact that men of their own selves shall arise up and seek to draw away disciples and speak perverse things. And that's the case here. One animal was shoving another with the shoulder and with the horns. And then those that were diseased were being just run away. And God says, I'm going to judge you because of this. I'll judge between the lean and the fat cattle. And in verse 22, he gives a great promise. "Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle." So those that are faithful, those that are true, those that have been misused and abused, they're going to be saved. God's going to judge between the faithful and the true. And the ones that have been being abused are going to be put into a position in which they will no longer be a prey. They're no longer going to be abused by the other members of the flock, because God is going to place a judgment there between cattle and cattle. Verse 23, he gives a very great promise. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd. Now we have to recognize this as being a great promise about the Messiah. This is the one shepherd that he's going to set up. He says, I will set up one shepherd over them. This is going to be God's doings. This person will not rise up and proclaim himself to be the shepherd. He will not be placed into this position by man or by any group of men. He is going to be put here by God. God will do this. I will set up one shepherd over them. And of course, we know this did happen with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was set up by God. He was put here in a miraculous way. There is no way that man could have mimicked this coming of the Savior. He could not have made all the little details fit that were told about in prophecy, which did fit very perfectly in the life of the Savior. This was something that was done by God. I will set up one shepherd over them. And we also know that he is one shepherd. He is the one way that man can come to God. All mankind, whether it be Jew or Gentile, all must come through this Messiah, through this mediator. All must approach the great God through him. So he is the one, then, shepherd that'll be over them. There's not two ways or three ways or half a dozen ways or 600 ways to get to God. You cannot circumvent this great shepherd. He is the one through which we all go to reach the one God. This great oneness that God talks about here through Ezekiel is emphasized in the New Testament in Ephesians 4, beginning with the third verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So we see then that this idea of there being one is not just kind of an afterthought. It's something prophesied by Ezekiel and something further emphasized in the organization of the New Testament church. And so he says, I will set up one shepherd over them. Now we'd like to also notice here that he calls him one shepherd over him. And this is alluded to in many other passages about the fact that our Savior is a shepherd, and he is the one shepherd. He is the shepherd that all the flock must appeal to, must recognize as being their leader, their guide. I'd like to show from some other passages how that this idea of him being the shepherd and the one shepherd is certainly borne out by the other writers of the Bible. In John chapter 10, beginning with the first verse and going through the 16th verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, Even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So we see in that passage how that this idea of Christ being the shepherd, the great shepherd of the flock, the shepherd of all the sheep that are going to be recognized by God, it's magnified in this chapter. He is the great shepherd. He's the door. They must go through him in order to get into the sheepfold. And he's going to provide the pasture for them. And on and on. And it's very consistent with what is taught here when he says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. This is talking about the Messiah. We also have this idea alluded to in Hebrews 13, beginning with the 20th verse. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that good shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So here in this passage, the Lord Jesus is called that good shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And we're going to see later in this chapter where that covenant is definitely alluded to. Again, we'd like to notice one more passage in 1 Peter 2:25. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So here Christ is referred to as the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Now notice he had just said, I will judge between cattle and cattle. So there's the idea of a shepherd, and there's the idea of a judgment being carried out. And as we know, the ultimate judgment is going to be whenever our Savior comes again the second time. Now this is alluded to in Matthew 25, beginning with the 31st verse. And it seems that the picture given here in Matthew 25 is taken from this passage here in Ezekiel. For he says, beginning with the 31st verse of Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So there we see how it's going to be in the great end time when the judgment day comes. The end of this dispensation, when the great shepherd, the great judge, is going to have all nations before him, and he's going to separate them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And a definite reference to this picture given by Ezekiel, that he's going to judge between cattle and cattle, and he's going to set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now the reference here to my servant David also is a definite reference to Christ, because all of the prophecies about David, Everything that's said about David's reign continuing after David has died, everything that's said about the scepter remaining in Judah would have to be fulfilled by our Savior. There's no other way that it has been or ever will be fulfilled. He's the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. And so then he truly can be referred to as my servant David. He is my servant. That is, the servant of God. He is the one that has no other being to answer to but God himself, and he was set up by God, and so he truly fulfills this prophecy of being my servant David. Now this fact is clearly taught in Acts the second chapter, as Peter was giving his sermon on the day of Pentecost, on the very day that the church was established. Let's notice how he explains this. Acts the second chapter, beginning with the 29th verse. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith of himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Peter outlines it very clearly here that the prophecies about David really were fulfilled with the coming of Christ. And at that very time, after his ascension into heaven, that Christ was now reigning in this kingdom. He had the scepter, and he was taking the place that David had occupied in the land of Israel. Now he further says, He shall feed them, he shall be their shepherd. So that the church looks to the Savior for its spiritual food. He shall feed them. We go according to the writings of the New Testament, which are based upon, of course, the foundation set by the Old Testament. They were given by the Holy Spirit as it spoke to the servants of Christ who were miraculously inspired. And so this then is Jesus speaking to us. This is Jesus giving us the food. In Colossians 3:17, he says, And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, what this means is we have to have the authority of Jesus before we can do anything in the way of service to God. We must have his authority. We do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that we have it, thus saith the Lord. We have a clear teaching that this is what the Lord wants us to do, what the Lord Jesus wants us to do, and consequently then we are following his teaching. He is feeding us, and in this regard, he certainly is our shepherd. Verse 24 now of our chapter 34 in Ezekiel, And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. He's talking about a time when he's going to truly be the God of his people. They're going to be able to look to him for leadership, for protection. He's going to succor and comfort them. And it really amounts to the fact that unless we have the servant David as our prince, that is, unless Jesus Christ is our prince, we cannot have the Lord to be our God. But to those who look to him as the prince, who look to him as the leader of the kingdom, who look to him as the great mediator, then they do have the Lord to be their God. They can truly say the one God, the God of the universe, is our God. And they are able to approach him only through the great mediator, the Prince, the Lord and Savior, the servant David, Jesus Christ. Then he says, I, the Lord, have spoken it. So that this is a definite prophecy given by the Lord. It is something that is going to happen, and he pronounces it here as though he had signed his signature to the document, I, the Lord, have spoken it. And as we study the Bible and see all the things that have taken place, that were prophesied about, and then that have been recorded in a historical way, we see that this has come to pass. Everything here that's spoken of has come to pass except that final judgment. And we certainly do believe that it's going to come to pass. We live like that it's going to happen. We live like we're going to be ready for it, because we do not want that day to overtake us as a thief in the night. I would like to emphasize something here too, that as he talks about this flock, and as he talks about the great shepherd and the judgment that's going to take place, we need to realize that one of the most important duties we can have in this life is our duty to our fellow man, and in particular our duty to our fellow brother or sister in the kingdom of God. It's how we act toward them that's going to be the determining factor in what kind of judgment we're going to have in the end. It's not any great big thing we have to do. It is the simple little things that account for our love, our concern, our care for each other, that's going to be used in this great judgment that we're going to have. For in this same passage of Matthew 25, where we hear about the king coming, the great shepherd coming, and setting the nations before him, and having the division of them like a shepherd would divide the sheep from the goats, and setting the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, he says in Matthew 25:34, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So it's a little simple, insignificant things we see here that we're going to be judged for. Whether or not we give food, clothing, housing, comfort, treatment of the ills of others, these are what are going to be talked about in the judgment day. Then in verse 41 he says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So we see a description of the great judgment day, the day when this great shepherd is going to judge all the flock, every individual, cattle against cattle, and he's going to decide which ones should be saved, which ones shouldn't be saved, which ones are going to go into everlasting life, which ones should go into everlasting punishment. And the judgment's going to be based upon how they reacted toward each other. What kind of comfort, what kind of actions they did to alleviate each other in times of distress. The love they had among the flock. That's what's going to be brought up at the judgment day. No great deeds, but rather simply the act of brotherly love. Well, we're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, Goodbye, friends.